Excited to be able to continue on in our series today through the book of Jeremiah. Today we get into chapter 29, and if you have your Bibles with you, I would encourage you to go ahead and turn there. We're going to read that here in just a moment. This is one of the things that that we're going to dive into today as we begin to hear the voice of God speaking through Jeremiah to the people of Israel who are now exiled to Babylon, right? So they were God's people in God's land who were disobedient to God, and then their disobedience earned the right for them to be conquered by Babylon and Nebuchadnezzar. And so then Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon and his army took them back to Babylon, took the people out of their homeland and exiled them into this foreign land. Well, today in Jeremiah 29, as we're going to study here, God has a word for those people that are in exile. And what we're going to find is that God has more than one plan for our life. See, it's interesting because a lot of people, if you're really praying to God for one thing in particular, I'm pretty sure that one thing might be, God, just show me the plan that you have for my life, right? What am I supposed to do? Who am I supposed to be, right? All those kinds of things. Many times we are looking for one plan, thinking that, well, God has this one thing that I'm supposed to do, this one thing that I'm supposed to be, and I think what we're going to see today is that God doesn't always have just one plan for our lives, right? As I think back over my life, even just in 5-year segments, right, that seems like a whole nother person ago, right? I think back to Beth and I when we were in Kentucky. That seems like another lifetime ago, right? Like, even before Beth and I were married, that's a whole nother life ago, right? It's not hard to think back and see, like God takes us through these different plans that we have sometimes. And so what we have to do then is figure out, how do we navigate the plans, plural, the plans of God for our life. And so before we jump into that through Jeremiah chapter 29 here, if you would just pray with me. God, we thank you for another opportunity to open your word and to hear from you. God, we recognize that your word is alive and active. And we ask, Father, in the name of Jesus, that your alive and active word would be alive and active in us today, God, that you would stir up some things in our hearts and in our spirits, Father. I ask that the words of my mouth would be yours, God, that your message alone would be proclaimed in this place, Father, that you would come against every distraction, every other voice, every part of our history that would try to discount what you're trying to say today, God. We just ask, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that you would help us to submit to you in our heart, mind, spirit, and soul, even right now. Help us, God, that we would say yes to you. And Lord, whatever it is that you're challenging us with, whatever it is that you're telling us to do, God, give us the courage to say yes to you today. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So let me start here in Jeremiah chapter 29, and starting in verses 1 through 3. It says, "This is the text of the letter that the prophet Jeremiah sent from Jerusalem to the surviving elders among the exiles and to the priests, the prophets, and all the other people Nebuchadnezzar had carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. This was after King Jehoiakim and the queen mother, the court officials, and the leaders of Judah and Jerusalem, the skilled workers and the artisans, had gone into exile from Jerusalem." Verse 3, "He entrusted the letter to Elasa, or nobody really knows how to pronounce any of that, son of Shaphan, and to Gemariah, son of Hilkiah, whom Zedekiah, king of Judah, sent to King Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon, and it said," and we're going to hold off right there real quick. So one of the things that we need to recognize is that Israel had what I'm going to refer to as the old plan. See, one of the plans of our lives that we have to work through is the old plan. The old plan for Israel was to worship false gods, and it led them to being conquered and then exiled by Babylon. The old plan was what got them into the mess that they found themselves in Babylon, right? And we just have to be honest about the fact that we all have an old plan, right? We all have something that led us into where we are now. And there's two things I want you to sort of see in this. One is that if we find ourselves in a mess, it's because our old plan was designed to perfectly get us there. Right? So, like, if you find yourself in something that you really wish you weren't in, like, I mean, you don't have to beat yourself up or anything like that, but the reality is, like, the choices that we've made and the things that have, the environment that we are a part of, like, all of those things perfectly led us to right where we are, right? Now, the second thing that I want to mention in that is that not everything that's part of the old plan is necessarily bad, right? There are some good things that may be part of our history that are still things that we need to deal with. There may be good things that were part of our past that may actually be holding us back from the next thing that God has for us. There may be good things that weren't necessarily negative. They didn't give us a bad feeling in life or anything like that. But those things may not be part of the next plan that God has for us. And so we just need to recognize that wherever God has us and whatever plan he's working on in us, we got to where we are today because of the old plan that led us here. Good, bad, or indifferent, right? What I find amazing, even in the story of Israel, is that even in their disobedience, even in the disobedience of the old plan that they came up with, of, hey, let's worship all these false gods and see how that works out, right? Even in that old plan of disobedience, God was still providing for them. And church, I just want you to hear today, like, maybe you feel like you're still in your old plan. Maybe you feel like you're still trying to figure things out on your own. Maybe you're still, maybe you're not really sure about this whole submission to God thing. Maybe you're not really sure about surrendering your life to Jesus. Maybe that's not really your jam yet or whatever. Like I just want you to know, like even if you are actively in opposition to God right now, he still is preparing things for your life. Like, I just want to encourage you with that. And maybe you're walking with the Lord, and maybe you are seeing how he's already doing some really amazing things there. I want to give you a word that you can share with somebody else who maybe isn't walking with the Lord right now, and that is that even if they are actively disobeying God right now, he still loves them enough to prepare a way for them, right? Church, we've got good news to share. We've got good news to share that God is not, even in their disobedience, even to the point where God had to send them out of the land that he prepared for them, he still loved them enough to give them a way back even before they got there, right? How amazing is that, that God loves us enough that even in our old plan, he's still providing for us, right? Let me keep going here in Jeremiah chapter 29. Let me get into verse 4 here. It says, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. He said, build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number. Do not decrease. Also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Yes, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Do not let the prophets and diviners among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams you encourage them to have. They are prophesying lies to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord. See, the second plan that God has for Israel is their right now plan, right? They had an old plan that got them where they were, But even still, now he's transitioning them from their old plan to their now plan. See, even though the old plan led them away from what was God's design and desire for their lives, they still had a chance to embrace this new plan in this distant land. The now plan is where God was preparing his people for what he had next, right? We're going to come to that here in verse 10 here in just a moment. But the now plan was where God was preparing his people for what he had next. And here's what's so important that I need you to hear in this, is that the old plan did not keep the Israelites from being able to prepare for the next plan. But what they had to do in this now plan was they had to, in this moment, find themselves in a place of preparation so that what was wouldn't hold them back, in order that they might be ready for what is to come. See, church, I need you to know today, like you might have some things in your past that just keep screaming at you that you're never going to be able to do all kinds of things for the Lord. But I want you to know, God has some things for you that if he told you right now, you probably wouldn't want to go after him. But if you will, in this now plan, just trust him enough to prepare your heart for whatever it is that he tells you to, I promise it will be worth it. And no matter what you've done in the past, he has a now plan for you that he can prepare your heart for everything that is to come next. Let me keep running here. So starting in verse 10 then, it says, this is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. And then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. So we start with the old plan that gets us into the mess that we find ourselves. God allows us to be part of this now plan that prepares us for what is to come, but God also has that next plan for us. The people of Israel weren't forced to leave the old plan behind in order to start that now plan in Babylon. God could not have shown them and provided for them the next plan that he had for them back in Israel. See, it was necessary that they had to lose what they had in order that they might prepare for the other that God had for them. There was transition that had to happen in order that their hearts and their spirits might be able to receive what God had. So long as they stayed in the land, they would have convinced themselves that they didn't actually need God. And it was not until God put an end to that old plan and they found themselves in a different place that they began to feel the consequences of their decisions, that they were really able to prepare themselves for the next plan that God had for them. See, what I need you to recognize today, church, is that the now plan is not the next plan. The plans will change. Amen. Right? The plans will change. For any of us with any kind of age on us, right? I was talking to a couple of people just out there this morning about some allergies and that kind of stuff, and I was reminiscing on how my father every fall would go through this sneezing fit. And he would just get so frustrated with it because he just couldn't stop it, right? He didn't want to be snotting and sneezing all over the place and everything like that, right? And it just frustrated him to no end, but I never had any issues with that, right? And then I moved to Houston. And I was here for about 4 years. And then I remember in particular, Daniel and I went to this, it was like this school went on a trip to like one of those farms, right, where you pick out a pumpkin and they got the hay ride and everything like that. That hay, I don't know what they had in that stuff, but it hated my guts. And I lost my mind. Like, it was terrible. And ever since then, I've been ruined, right? I've been ruined. And one of the things that I shared out there was, well, I don't know if it was because of Houston or because I'm just getting a little bit older, right? But we know the plans change, don't they, right? You get a little bit older and the plans change, right? What you thought you could do before, you can't do anymore, right? And then sometimes you get wise enough to realize the things you were doing before you probably ought not be doing anymore, right? The wise gentleman that I used to worship with who would tell stories about different things that he's experienced, and I would look at him sometimes and say, well, I don't know what you're talking about. And he would just look at me and say, well, just keep on living. Just keep on living. Just keep on living, right? See, as we keep on living, we recognize the plans change. And not just physically in our bodies and everything, right? Like, our lives change. Who we're around changes. Our work environment changes. Our families change. Like the now plan is not the next plan. The plan will change. The old plan is what got us here. The now plan is where God has us to prepare for what's next. But the next plan is what will be required when the preparation is complete. And so what we've got to do is we got to make sure that we are getting ourselves ready in our now plan so that when God begins to show us the next plan, we are ready to step into that without hesitation, right? Let me show you what I mean by this, right? Even for us as a church, and I would encourage you, maybe not necessarily right now, but on our website, you can actually find and read through the history of the Houston First Church of God, right? And it actually goes all the way back to starting as a house church. I don't know if you realize that or not. But this church, who we are as a church, started in someone's house one day, right? And that was the plan at that point, was that a Houston First Church of God was going to be a house church. But then it became a church with a building. It became what I would refer to as an established church, right? It had a mailing address and that kind of stuff, right? Then it became a leader-raising church, right? And we had some pastors and some leaders within the church that recognized, you know what? We need to have a place where some Bible teachers are being raised up and being able to be sent out in order that we as a movement can continue to grow. And so we became this place that was sort of identified as being a leader-raising church. And then we became a college-supporting church, right? And into existence came what would eventually be known as Gulf Coast Bible College, right? And all of that was through the work of leaders and pastors of this church here, right? And so the plan at that point was to be a college-supporting church. And then the church became sent to the suburbs church, right? So no longer are we down on West 11th Street, but now they built this building out on this two-lane road called 290, and there ain't nobody out there and or anything like that, and merely a buggy would go by from now, probably not that far, but you know what I'm saying, so there was, like, if you have seen any pictures of when this building was out, like, there wasn't nothing out there, right? And so this wasn't a church that was sent to the suburbs. This was a church that was sent beyond the suburbs, right? That was the plan at that point. And then we became a ministry church, right? And so we started all kinds of ministries, like the choir would tour and that kind of stuff. There was, even more recently, there was the Hope Ministry that was ministering to homeless people. All kinds of really amazing, powerful ministries. But you see, like, even throughout the history of our church, the plan has changed. Right? And the now plan and the next plan are not always the same thing, right? And so at each point along the way, we as a church have had to prepare for what God has next for us. See, we will be tempted to get stuck in the old plan, right? We'll always be tempted to go back to that other life we had, right? We're going to have those temptations to we'll think about, oh, what life was back then, and we won't remember how hard it was, but we'll remember that, oh, there was a fun time here, there, whatever, right? And every once in a while, that old plan will come. And sometimes, like I said, that old plan's not always a bad thing. Sometimes there were some good things in the old plan. But that doesn't mean it's not still supposed to be the old plan, right? And so sometimes we think back on some of those old plans and we think, oh, man, like those were the days. Oh, if pastor would just get things like the old plan, right? Oh, then things would just be perfect, right? If we're not careful, we can be tempted to get stuck even in the now plan, right? Oh, well, this is, when I got connected with Houston First Church of God, this is what it was like, and I hope it's like this forever, right? I hope things never change. Like, I remember, like, even at the end of the last school year, we were talking with the kids about when we were in high school and everything, we'd get those yearbooks and everything, right? I don't even know, they probably don't even do yearbooks anymore. They probably just send each other an email with your pictures in it or whatever, right? Just find it on Instagram. That's your yearbook, right? And they would Snapchat it, but then it'd be gone and nobody would ever see it again. But I remember, like, when I had this yearbook, we'd go around and we'd have people sign it, right? And the dumbest thing that people would always write in there, right? Love you, man. Never change. See, I wish I would have brought it with me just to show you. Like, it's the dumbest thing in the world. Like, please, like, I'm a junior and senior in high school. Please don't wish that on me, right? If you think I'm crazy now, you don't even, like the level of crazy then and the level of ignorance that went along with it, at least now I know how crazy I am, right? At least now I can surrender that to Jesus. Then I didn't even know how crazy I was, right? Tell me never to change. You don't even know how crazy that is, right? But sometimes we can get there, right? Like right now can be so, like, enjoyable. Like, we're getting things out of right now. Like, God is doing some things right now. Like, the people around us are kind of cool right now. Like, the things we're doing are maybe kind of comfortable right now. Like right now is a pretty good thing. And I just want you to see that even as we're learning from some of the things that God is speaking to Israel through Jeremiah here, is that right now is designed to be good. Like, he told them, build houses, plant gardens, have babies and grandkids, and, you know, pray for the prosperity. Like, it's supposed to be good, but it's not supposed to be forever, right? The next plan is that we get to go back to the promised land. Like, make it as good as you can right where you are, but recognize that you are in a place of preparation right now, right? We can't fall to the temptation to get stuck in our now plan, right? But let's be honest, we don't want to get tempted to get stuck in that next plan either, right? Because sometimes we can be so focused on what's coming next, we don't even enjoy right now, right? Oh, once I graduate from college, it's going to be awesome, right? Once I have kids, it's going to be amazing. Once my kids get out of the house, it's going to be great. Once I retire, it's going to be awesome. And before long, you're going to wish your whole life away and may never have actually enjoyed the moment that you're in, right? Or recognized how God is preparing you in each of those plans, right? We got to fight the temptation to get stuck in any of these things, and we got to recognize that God doesn't just have a plan for our lives, but he has plans for our lives that we need to be open to and sensitive to the leading of God's Holy Spirit in order that we might be able to sense and recognize when one plan needs to submit to the next plan, right? Like, for example, there was a time in my life where I thought the plan was I was going to be like some sort of professional soccer player. Like, and if you ever saw me on a Sunday evening out there playing with Iglesia, you would know that plan should not have worked out. That plan was never going to work out, right? That was not God's plan. I can tell you right now, that was not God's plan. Well, it apparently was not God's plan. Let me say it that way. But then the next plan after that was that I was going to be a middle school math teacher, right? I thought middle school students were just the right kind of messed up for me, right? And I just, I love, there was something about that age group and just the variety of just things that are going on there and everything. I loved math, and I knew that a lot of people don't love math, right? And so it was like, man, like seriously, like I really had a passion for that and everything. And I, like, that was just the plan that I felt like, okay, this is what God's got me in right now. I'm just going to be a middle school math teacher. And I found a program, like I started looking for colleges, and there was only one college that I could find that actually had certification for middle school grades. Everything was either elementary or high school at that point. And there was one program that actually was fairly close to my house, and I was like, man, if that ain't the Lord, I don't know what is, right? And so we, you know, I got registered there and everything like that. And then the summer before I started my freshman year of college, the Lord showed me a new plan, and that was that my next plan was that I was supposed to be proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world, like vocationally, right? And so this is 2 weeks before I'm supposed to start my freshman year of college, and so I'm smack dab in the middle of getting ready to start my now plan, and I just realized that my now plan is my old plan, and so now my new now plan is to get ready for my next plan, which is to be a pastor that eventually led me here to where I am right now. See, if we're not careful, we might see that, well, wait a second, like, I really felt like the plan that God had given me was to be a middle school math teacher, and so if I feel like God is saying something else, but I'm holding on to what I want out of my life, then I might tell God, no, God, I can't take that next plan, because I'm trying to hold on to this plan. But the reality is, that now plan then was only preparation to get me where he really wanted me to be. See, I just have to trust God enough that if he wants to change the plan on me, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. And I don't have to fight him or fight it. All I have to do is submit to him and say, yes, Lord. See, our ability to move on from our old plan will determine our effectiveness in our now plan. How we prepare in our now plan will actually determine what we will do in the next plan. And our openness to the next plan is a direct indication as to our openness to God's plan in our lives. See, Many times we focus ourselves so much on what we want to do, that one thing that we've got to figure out. And what I just want to show you today that I believe we can learn from what God is speaking to the people of Israel, even as they were exiled to Babylon, is that there is not just one plan that you need to discern for your life, but rather figuring out the plans of your life is an ongoing discernment that as you continue this walk with Jesus, you will begin to hear how he is rescuing you from that old plan, preparing you in this now plan in order that you might be ready for what he has coming next. We just have to put ourselves in a position to say yes. I want to go ahead and invite the worship team to come on back up. And as they do, I want us even to be thinking about these different plans that God has for us, right? Because until we let go of those old plans, we can't receive what God has for us right now. And we'll never look for the next plan that God has for us. See, God has more for you than what you can see in your life right now. And it's really exciting for me as a pastor to look out at all of you and see, like, oh my goodness, I can't wait to see how God is going to begin to open your eyes to see how you can influence people with the kingdom of God, to see how you can be a disciple that's making disciples, to see how you can be someone who actually fully surrenders your life and is no longer led and controlled by sin and the consequences of it, but that you get to be set free and made whole in the blood of Jesus Christ, that you get to be forgiven, and then that you get to walk with him in this brand new life. Like when I look out and I see you, I don't just see these people in chairs that I just get that have to listen to my long rambling and everything. I see potential for all of the next plans that God has for you. Amen. And I can't wait for all of us to be able to prepare ourselves in such a way that we would all be willing and excited to step into the next plan that God has for us. So what is it? What is the old plan that you might need to let go of so that you can prepare for what God has next for you? What is it that might be part of the past that maybe it was bad, maybe it was in opposition to God, maybe it just wasn't what God has next for you? Maybe it's a matter of just surrendering yourself and saying, you know what? I've been trying to do this on my own for way too long, and the only thing it's done for me is get me in a mess. And what I need to do is I need to actually surrender my life to Jesus. I need Him to direct me. I need the good news of Jesus to change me and to help me prepare for what He has next. How are you preparing now for what God has next for you? And really the big question is, do you really want to submit to God? Do you really want to submit your old plan to Him in order that He might prepare you now for what He has next to you? Do you just want to do it on your own, or do you really want to submit to God? Do you really recognize that Jesus is able to do some things in your life that you can't do on your own? Are you ready to say, you know what? I've been fighting for myself too long, and I recognize I just need to surrender. I need to stop trying to come up with my own plans, and God, I just need to surrender to your plan. Like, do you actually want to submit to Jesus today? If you would stand with me, please. We're going to sing a couple of songs here in just a moment. And as we do, however it is that the Lord is leading in your heart, maybe you want to come and pray in an altar of prayer. Maybe you just want to just pray right where you are, or pull somebody aside with you and just ask them to be praying with you about the plans that God has for you. Maybe you just want to know, what are the plans you have for my life? Like, invite people into that, and we want to walk with you through that. But it all comes down to that last question of, do you want to submit to God? Do you trust Him with your life? That His plans are actually better than your plans. He's able. Let Him work in you, even right now.